Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird.
That's another fine mess you've gotten us into.
It's a minor snag.
No, it's not a minor snag. It's a prison riot. Now, just remind me, what's the mantra I get every morning when I walk through the door? Prentice McCabe are the top government media relations agency in London. We are never knowingly outweezed.
And we have not been outweezed. We've been temporarily incommoded.
Charles, against the advice of the senior partner...
The older partner, Martin.
The older and wiser partner, I rather think. You accept a commission from some bunch of lefty Guardian readers who want to let everybody out of prison.
They do not want to let everybody out. They've enlisted my unique skills to persuade our political masters to show courage and honesty for once in their benighted lives and nail the lie that prison works. This is a battle for hearts and minds.
And a riot in Brixton is part of the master plan?
Well, what's a riot amongst friends?
They've taken two Labour MPs hostage.
The Prime Minister's got hundreds of Labour MPs. He's hardly going to miss two, is he?
Charles, over here.
Ah, over here, yes.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course this is safe. This is Middlesbrough Football Club. There's nobody here at all.
Charles, our relationship has reached a defining moment.
You're going to ask me to marry you, aren't you? All these years and I never knew.
I'm going to ask you to ditch these prison reform people. Charles, you've been extremely useful to Downing Street. You've done on the government's behalf a lot of messy, difficult things. You've done them with skill and discretion.
You are going to ask me to marry you.
I want you to know how grateful the Prime Minister is. He would say thank you if only he didn't have to deny your existence. Charles, you're on the wrong side of this argument.
Which argument are we talking?
We are going to crush this absurd riot in Brixton. We're going to crush it with a ruthlessness that will make the Tories look like soft, soppy, pinko, knicker-wetting ninnies.
Do you know what you remind me of, Archie? A pimply, weedy adolescent in a rugby changing room, proudly counting his pubes. I'm a man, even if I need a microscope to prove it.
You don't actually believe this nonsense about reforming the prisons, do you? For pity's sake, man, what's got into you? How many times have we met in this room and I've said, I've got a job for you? And you say, oh, good, I do hope it's something messy. We don't employ Prentice McCabe to parade its political conscience. Now, that is adolescence.
Look, I'm employed by an association that wishes to reform our penal system. Naturally, I give them maximum energy and commitment, as I do to any client.
I know you do. That's why we don't want you on the wrong side. We've got too much respect for you. Charles, don't get in the way on this one. Not if you wish this lucrative relationship to continue. I need your response now, Charles.
Archie, let me say this as a man of unflinching principled consistency. What's in it for me?
I'm sorry?
Well, it's all very well being one of the people of the night, your existence officially denied, but it does get a little lonely.
What are we talking?
A knighthood.
What?
Sir Charles Prentice.
So you'll drop all this nonsense about prison reform if we give knighthoods to you and Martin?
Who said anything about Martin? Archie, if you're going to have principles in this life, it is essential that they have a certain infinite flexibility, just like the Prime Minister's.
Tell the Home Secretary not the flak jacket.
I think he looks rather good in it.
What he needs is an air of sober responsibility, and tell him to wear a sensible shirt, not that stripy one. We can't have him showing up outside Brixton in a shirt that looks like the top half of a clown suit.
All right, I'll tell him.
And not the tie with the bunny rabbit, even if his children did give it to him. You cannot order a riot squad to enter a prison wearing a tie with bunny rabbits. Janice, have you got the script?
Yeah, it's here.
Let's check this over. Tough measure, blah, blah, blah. We'll always stand firm against criminals, blah, blah.
You don't think there's any chance of them calling off this riot, do you?
God, I certainly hope not.
I knew it. I always knew it. There comes a time when a man must stand up and be counted. Am I a man or am I a sheep? Arise, Sir Principles. Meh.
Martin, I was persuaded by the power of Archie's arguments.
Of course you were.
And after all, why shouldn't I accept some token of Downing Street's esteem? I have done the state some service.
And he's paid us a lot of money.
We can never overlook the importance of our government retainer, certainly.
We must reform the prison system.
As indeed we must, when the time is right, when resources permit.
And in the meantime, we will reluctantly accept the baubles and bangles of government patronage, the crass comforts of cronyism, the piffling perks of privilege.
Well, up to a point.
Charles, I am getting a knighthood as well, aren't I?
I don't recall any mention of that. What was it Archie said? I shall always think of Martin as plain Martin. Sir Charles and plain Martin.
Oh. Not Sir Bauble and Sir Bangle.
I fear not.
Mr. Prentice, Charlotte's here from prison reform people.
Ah, this promises to be a rather delicate interview.
And I have no hesitation in leaving you to it.
Well, I would welcome a little moral support,
and
actually.
I would welcome a trip to the palace. A quick tap with the old sword, walking backwards in knee-length breeches. But you can't always get what you want, can you? If knee-length breeches are off, then so am I.
But Charles, this is our big chance. We can use this to put the prisoner's case. I thought I persuaded you. You know prison is a waste of money.
Yes, well, it is.
It doesn't reduce crime.
It certainly doesn't.
A courageous government would tell people the truth and search for alternatives.
I could not agree with you more.
So I have persuaded you.
You've persuaded my brain, yes. But sadly not my wallet or my vanity.
You've been bought off.
Bought off? What an extraordinary suggestion.
What have they done? Offered you a peerage?
Of course they haven't. No, as a matter of fact, they haven't. Lord Prentice of the Wheeze. Well, you know, Charlotte, face the facts. We are coming up to an election. Crime is a major issue. The government must be seen to be tough, especially because it's a Labour government. Governments of the left are always under pressure to prove their virility, flash their cojones.
And prisoners don't vote.
How cynical. And how completely correct.
So when the Home Secretary orders the storming of the prison, we can't rely on you to represent us?
Well, no.
I'm really disappointed in you, Charles.
Charlotte, this is an election year. You're a well-meaning, idealistic, virtuous radical. Much to be admired. And lousy box office. Look, come back after the election.
No, I don't think so. I'll see myself out.
Charlotte!
Don't bother. What did you do with your cojones, Charles? Exchange them for two tickets to the Cup Final and dinner with Charlie Whelan?
Such bitterness in one so young. Spring lamb in a sauce of cyanide.
How did that go?
Well, it went.
Well, don't sit round worrying about it. Charles, you're put on this earth to be an untrustworthy, calculating swine.
Yes. Thank you, Martin.
Shifting, difficult to grip, and as malleable as a mountain of merd. Drink at the club?
Oh, not your ruddy gentleman's club. Moth-eaten sofas and moth-eaten members.
And a restful haven to mull over the day with a glass of mulled wine Maurice.
Look, the place to go is Bangkok Banger.
What?
It's the restaurant. The food is a subtle fusion of authentic Thai cuisine with greasy spoon garbage. They tell me the black pudding green curry is a revelation. Simply everyone is going there.
And I'm simply going somewhere else. Sandy?
Yes?
Walk into the tube.
No, I've just got a few things to clear up.
Then I'll bid you good night. Enjoy your bacon in grease and lemongrass or whatever.
Good night, Martin.
Mr. Prentice?
Yes, Sandy.
Can I have a word with you?
If it's about the invoice to the prison reform people, don't send one. I think it might be adding insult to a sense of utter betrayal.
Well, no, it's about my dad.
Yes?
You know that my dad is doing 3 years in Brixton?
Yes, I did know that, and naturally I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. He ought to be doing 23 years. Only he's in D-Wing, where the riot is. See, he's not involved. My dad doesn't do rioting. Breaking and entering he does, a bit of aggressive begging and the odd bit of fraud, but not rioting.
I'm glad to hear he's not involved.
Yeah, but they said on the news that they're going to send in riot troops, make an example of the prisoners. Well, people are going to get hurt, aren't they?
Well, yes, I'm very much afraid they are.
And I was wondering if there's anything you could do. I mean, I've never asked you for anything before. Well, except a pay rise, which...
Yes, well, we are looking at salary structures at the moment.
But never mind that now. You're supposed to have influence, aren't you? We deal with the government at the highest level. I'm always saying that to potential clients.
Yes, and unusually for this outfit, it happens to be true.
All of this protest blew up because some of the inmates demanded Sky Sports 1, 2 and 3 on their tellies. Oh, and a selection of all-night channels for the discerning adult.
Well, you see, the trouble is, Sandy, that kind of thing doesn't go down well with voters. They expect prisons to be austere.
Austere, yeah. Have you ever been in Brixton? Anyway, I thought I'd ask.
I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, good night.
Oh, God.
Well, of course, I'm only plain Martin.
This is no time for that. Look.
Say it, Charles.
Well, the thing is...
Say it.
The thing is, I need your help.
Of course you do. The benefit of my first-class mind.
Yes, yes, the benefit of your first-class mind.
How do you wheeze your way out of this one? Well, you know what this calls for?
Well, I was hoping you were going to tell me.
It calls for a glass of mulled claret. Ah, splendid.
Your claret, messieurs.
Thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice, one of the few pleasures of drinking in this decaying dump is the pleasure of favouring you with an elegant put-down, a withering witticism.
Oui, monsieur.
Bugger off, Maurice.
Oui, monsieur.
Ah, Martin.
It's the clothes that do it, isn't it? Charles, recommend an urgent meeting with Archie. And you put to him the following.
Charles, I hope this is going to be quick. We're in the middle of a crisis.
I want to tell you a story, Archie.
I don't have the time,
A story
Charles.
About a government minister. We'll call him the Home Secretary. It's just a name. Now, this minister had been a bit of a student radical in his youth, and he was terribly ashamed of it. And he spent the rest of his life trying to prove to himself and everybody else that he was a big, grown-up politician. And came the day, some poor, unfortunate prisoners decided to relieve the tedium by rioting. And our nameless minister said, "This is my big moment. This is where I show them how tough and macho and right-wing I really am."
And how I've got the support of every poll in every paper.
Yes, the polls. Archie, let me tell you about the pants of Naughty Knickers Nance. Now, the pants of Naughty Nance varied with circumstance.
Charles.
For when they were up, they were up. And when they were down, they were down. And when they were only halfway up, the magistrates couldn't decide between a fine and a suspended sentence.
Charles, I'm sure you're driving at something, because you usually are, but what are you driving at, Charles?
I'm driving at this. Opinion polls go up, go down, and hover about in the middle. You cannot govern a country by slavishly following the polls.
Yes, you can.
It's the oldest question in the political book. What happens to the polls when they bring out the body bags? But damn it, that lunatic is proposing to send a riot squad into a prison. What are they taking with them? Balloons, cakes, and vol-au-vents?
All right, you've made your point. What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting a last-minute intervention from Number 10. Averting bloodshed, defusing the crisis, showing wisdom and compassion and getting favourable headlines for a fortnight.
Ah, yes, you are driving at something, aren't you?
In a modern country, there must be better ways of resolving a modern riot. You know the kind of thing. I can leave that to you. And, of course, an understated but unmistakable rebuke to your well-meaning but overzealous colleague, the Home Hothead. Point?
Yes, point. The problem is, Charles, it may be too late.
Then I suggest, dear Archie, that you get on with it.
Yes.
Any minute now.
Gail, can I ask you something?
Of course you can.
The announcement about sending the troops or riot squad, whoever they are, well, why does it matter so much to you, to the Gail Shand agency?
Look, what is the one thing that stops us from being the top, the number one?
Is this a Charles Prentice thing?
You bet it's a Charles Prentice thing.
I was afraid it might be.
I've tried everything I know to get the gold account, the hotline to Number 10, the Downing Street account. Well, all right, up to now I haven't quite managed it.
You don't think this gets a bit crude, do you? A bit childish?
Listen, what's the best way to win the Downing Street hush-hush account? To put our own boy in the job.
If you say so.
This is his big moment. This is when he gets to be centre stage. This is when he says, "I am a strong leader, I am fit to lead a great nation."
Yeah. You know, if you don't mind me saying so, it's a pity you're already married. You and Charles Prentice were meant for each other. Why does it matter so much to be number one instead of number two?
Turn the news on and you'll find out.
If you say so.
And in a dramatic development within the last few moments, the Prime Minister has intervened personally in the prison disturbance here at Brixton. A spokesman for Number 10 said there had to be a better way to solve such problems than through violence and what he called hairy-chested grandstanding. The spokesman emphasised that this was not a criticism of the Home Secretary, whose position was unassailable.
No. No, no, no! I knew you could do it, Mr. Prentice.
No, no, really, no, no. Honestly, stop. Oh, you have.
So, the whole thing ended peacefully, Charles.
Not a drop of blood. And the PM, without surrendering the principle, has agreed to consider the prisoners' demands.
And the two Labour MPs are safe?
Yes, Archie was rather odd about that. He said, "I don't care about them. They both abstained on the vote to privatise air safety." His exact words were, "I've got a little list and there'd none of them be missed."
Anyway, well done.
Well, I wouldn't have wanted your father to get hurt.
No, he can carry on rotting in peace now.
Come.
Charles.
Charlotte.
Well done.
Yes, well, it was one of my best wheezes.
One of your best wheezes? Yeah, yes, I think I'll leave you to it, Charles. I'll go and find some real clients. Sandy, let's go through the post, shall we? We'll leave Charles with the Guardian.
Okay.
Is there something the matter with your partner?
Well, professional jealousy.
Well, now, that concludes phase one.
Phase one?
Well, Charles, this is only the beginning.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think you'll find it's the end. Yes, quite definitely the end. So, sorry to rush you. Urgent meeting. I'm launching Matt Munro's comeback.
But he's dead.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a very challenging assignment. After that, I'm relaunching the public image of Sir Michael Caine as a man who never whinges about anything. It promises me rather a taxing day, really.
Well, Charles, we've only just started. Look, you did really well. You've averted bloodshed. You've made the Home Secretary look silly.
Well, I can hardly claim the credit for that.
We haven't won the battle for the hearts and minds. We haven't persuaded people of the case for prison reform.
You've got a monomania about this.
Of course I have. It's my job. Now, what I want you to do is to host a series of seminars for MPs and newspaper editors, and then we'll run a nationwide campaign.
No!
But Charles...
Charlotte, I have suffered one brief attack of conscience. I am now cured. I'm now reverting to type. You may have been put on this earth to do good. I was not. You know that song, Somewhere in My Wicked Childhood, I Must Have Done Something Good? Well, in my case, nothing springs to mind. Nothing good at all.
But Charles...
Categorically, no. Goodbye.
But...
Charlotte, nothing but nothing will induce me to touch the prison reform campaign ever again.
I love doing it to that Elgar.
Elgar is like Matt Munro.
What?
He's dead.
Charles, there's a... something I've got to tell you.
Well, if you're going to tell me you're married, I already know. Not that you told me at the time, of course.
Oh, don't start again.
Gail, you should have married me. We could have done things together.
We do things together, Charles. Beethoven at the Ritz, Debussy at the Dorchester, Elgar at the Savoy.
How could anybody prefer an insect specialist from Philadelphia to me?
That's what I want to tell you. I'm moving to Philadelphia.
What?
Yes, the thing is, Jim's work is going to keep him in the States, and there aren't a lot of jobs for insect specialists in London.
But what about your career?
Oh, I think I can make it in the States. They're crying out for political lobbyists. And I am the best, after all.
The second best?
No, not the second best.
So, no more Beethoven?
No, afraid not.
Well, it's been fun.
I'm not saying it hasn't been.
Remember that afternoon at the Lanesborough? We were doing it to Johann Strauss, and you kept saying 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It was most off-putting, you know.
I bet nobody else has done it under a table at the Mirabelle.
Yeah, with Marco Pierre White saying, "I recommend the oysters."
And you shouted from beneath the tablecloth, "So do I, matey." Of course, it isn't just the sex.
It is mostly the sex.
No, it's the fight. The professional fight. It's been good having a rival who's almost as good as I am.
Gail, I'm better than you are. I taught you everything you know.
All right. One last time. One last fight. Grand Slam final, fifth set tiebreak. To the finish. Yes?
Well, it sounds irresistible.
It was you who got the PM to intervene at Brixton, wasn't it?
I'm afraid it was.
All right. The Home Secretary is making a speech next week promising to make conditions in our prisons tougher, harsher and more austere. I wrote the speech. Get it stopped.
Come again?
Persuade the Home Secretary to make a speech right at the start of the election campaign saying we need a more liberal, compassionate penal system. If he uses the words, prison doesn't work, then you win.
Oh, no, but that can't be done.
And I thought this was Charles Prentice.
Well, what do I get if I win?
My business. All my existing clients.
And if I lose?
Then I get these.
Ooh.
As souvenirs to take to Philadelphia.
You're betting your business against my...
fifth set tiebreak. To the finish. New balls, please.
You bet what?
Well... it adds spice, Martin. Makes life interesting.
But, Charles, if you lose...
I'm not going to lose.
But you said yourself this can't be done. It's impossible.
To wheeze the impossible wheeze.
Charles, the PM is the man who said, tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime. It's the only memorable thing he ever has said. And he forgot about the causes bit as soon as he became Prime Minister.
Well, yes, that's broadly true.
So he's suddenly going to go soft The Tories will have a field day. Charles, Charles, I am sorely tempted to throw your own words back at you. I'm not touching this with a barge pole. This is unachievable.
Nothing is unachievable for Prentice McCain.
No, just Prentice on this occasion. In my case, those things that are attached are staying attached. Do you know any good surgeons? Only I don't think I'd let the National Health Service loose on an operation like that.
There will be no operation. I'm going to win. And you're quite right, Martin. I'm going to do it without any assistance from you.
Now, where have I heard that before?
Janice, I don't think we can put this in a speech for the Home Secretary.
Well, you said you wanted a quotation.
Yes, I don't think I want, no matter what they do or say, it makes no difference anyway, whatever it is, I'm against it.
Well, that sums up the Home Secretary perfectly.
Yes, but I was hoping for a quote from one of the great thinkers. This isn't exactly John Stuart Mill, is it?
No, it's Groucho Marx.
Yes. Look, I know you've been working very hard lately, but I don't think the Home Sec can wind up a speech about law and order and crime and punishment by saying, in the immortal words of Groucho Marx. It doesn't add to the dignity of the proceedings. We are seeking to boost his stature, his gravitas. Whenever we write a speech for the Home Secretary, we must always ask the question, does his gravitas look big in this?
Yes. Okay.
It's, all right, I think the rest of it's fine. I say to the muggers, they will be curfewed. I say to those who vandalise phone boxes, they will be curfewed. People who stand on the wrong side of tube escalators, they will be curfewed. As long as I am Home Secretary, everybody under the age of 27 will be in bed by 5 o'clock. And poor Charles is trying to turn this man into a prison reformer.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
For a chap who's gambled his manhood on achieving the impossible, you are remarkably chipper.
I had a 3-hour meeting last night.
Oh, you really do know how to live, don't you? How do you stand the excitement?
I had a 3-hour meeting with the Prime Minister.
You actually got to see the PM, but Prentice McCabe was strictly barred from Downing Street. We're not supposed to exist, remember?
The Prime Minister is in our debt. He agreed this once to meet me. He listened to the case. I appealed to him as a Christian, a decent man, and a serious thinker.
Well, that's a straight 0 out of 3.
I put the case on grounds of humanity, that it is barbaric and inhumane. I put the case on grounds of practicality, that it just doesn't work. And I then put the case on grounds of money, that if he halved the prison population, he'd be able to save so much money that he'd be able to slash income tax to levels Nigel Lawson never dreamed of.
Ah.
He agreed with every word I said. And he agreed that substantial revisions were necessary to the Home Secretary's speech tonight.
This just came for you.
And this is an advance copy of that very speech. Thank you, Sandy. Let's see. Listen to this. Are we to be dictated to by certain newspapers? Precisely. Or are we prepared to show courage, conviction, and radical thinking in the battle against crime? Quite so. That is why I have no hesitation in saying that prison...
Yes?
Prison...
Yes?
Prison works.
Let's have a look. We are fully prepared to lock up more people than the Conservatives ever dreamed of. We will lock up more people than any government in history. Our motto must be a prison on every street corner. I am proud to be a Labour Home Secretary who recognises the moral case for the birch. I am not against punishment. I am all for it. Yes, indeed he is, isn't he?
But the PM agreed with me.
I think the trouble is, Charles, this Prime Minister agrees with everybody. That's how he got to be Prime Minister. I don't like to mention this, but I think you've lost your bet.
Oh, God.
Charles, don't be silly. I don't want them, really. I doubt if I could smuggle them through customs. I just wanted the satisfaction of winning.
I was so sure I'd done it.
Oh, you do make everything so complicated, don't you? I always knew he was going to stick to the speech I wrote.
Because it was politically inevitable?
No, because I've been shagging his private secretary.
What?
Well, you don't expect me to stay faithful to you when I can't stay faithful to my husband.
Well, that is very feminist, I must say. Very right on. It's a shameful, flagrant use of your sexuality.
Yes, yes it is. You use whatever you've got to get whatever you want. Poor Charles. You wheeze and wheeze and you really don't understand anything, do you?
Look, don't go.
I've got to go. I've got a plane in 4 hours. Charles, cheer up. You lost. It's not the end of the world. Have a quick boo-hoo, then get up and get on with it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There'll be other battles, other people to fight. Won't be like fighting with you, though, will it?
It's been fun. Now, I let you off our bet on one condition.
And what might that be?
That you can prove you can do it to the 1812 overture.
Oh, my God.
So you finally said goodbye to Gail Shand?
Yes, yes, I have.
Well, it's for the best, Charles. She did disturb your hormones, upset your equilibrium.
Yes, yes, I suppose she did.
There were times when she brought out a side of you I didn't know existed, a soft side. I don't like your soft side much. I like it even less than I like your hard side. There were occasions when I thought, what's happened to the cold, ruthless swine I know and love?
Oh, I think you'll find he's alive and kicking. It's about time for the news, isn't it? Turn the telly on, would you, Martin?
Oh, there'll have to be a load of boring old stuff about the election.
No. Turn it on, Martin. That's a good job. And the volume control, perhaps?
This is a major embarrassment to the government. 36-year-old Gail Shand, who heads her own PR agency, has recently been acting as special advisor to the Home Secretary. This afternoon, she was arrested at Heathrow Airport, where her suitcase was found to contain a Class A drug. Police say serious charges are likely to follow.
Charles?
Yes?
Charles, you didn't. You wouldn't.
My dear chap, this is an elementary demonstration of the 10 years in Holloway wheeze.
The 10 years in Holloway wheeze? You planted a Class A drug in her suitcase.
Well, I wanted her leaving present to be a surprise. Martin, you didn't just expect me to sit there and lose, did you?
But Charles, honestly.
I've done her rather a favour. If you're to be a special advisor to the Home Secretary, you really should have some direct experience with the prison system, don't you think?
Just let her go to prison.
No, I'm sure we'll be able to convince the authorities that a terrible mistake has been made after a year or two. You know, I've never understood that old chestnut, you can't win them all. Yes, you can.
This just came by special messenger.
Oh, for the palace. That'll be for me.
No, it's for me, actually, Charles.
You?
Yes. Didn't I mention my knighthood? Sorry, must have slipped my mind. Yes, I'm being made Sir Martin for services to the government.
You?
It's a funny thing, but there's no mention of you here. Isn't that odd? Dear, dear. Sandy, you don't feel like helping with a quick rehearsal, do you? Now, I'll kneel down here. Now, you be the queen.
Arise, Sir Martin.
Stop it.
Arise, Sir Martin.
Stop it at once.
Sorry, Charles. You're just going to have to get used to it. From now on, we're going to be Sir Martin McCabe and plain Charles Prentice.
You have been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Berg, with Tamsin Gregg, Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes, Beth Chalmers and Claire Corbett. The music was by Matthew Scott. The executive producer was Paul Schlesinger. The producer was Dawn Ellis.